Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and in the studio with me is our host of Money Life and the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries, Chuck Bentley.
Well, Dave, it's great to be with you, and welcome to all of our listeners from around the world, whether you're in your kitchen or driving down the road right now or listening while you're on the treadmill or out jogging with headphones on. Glad to have all of you. I know some of you listen in different parts of the world through the web, so thanks for being a part of Money Life.
Well, Chuck, today we are going to answer some questions that have come from our listeners into your inbox at chuckbentley@crown.org. And I'd like to start out this segment with a question from a listener regarding our film series. And essentially the question was, we know you have a passion for reaching the ultra poor, but how can you do that when you're selling a box set of DVDs in the U.S. At a standard DVD price?
Well, Dave, that's a great question because it looks like the two are in conflict. In fact, they're not at all. They're synergistic because our original goal was to get the film series produced in English and begin to sell them to recoup some of the donor dollars that it took to create this new ministry tool. And as we got our resources back, then we would begin the translation process. We hope to get these stories in 26 languages and then begin partnering with other ministries and using our staff around the world to get the resource into the hands of those who cannot afford to buy it. So it's a both-and strategy, Dave. We think by selling it in the U.S., in the developed world, it allows us to be very good stewards of the resource God's given us. And by the way, Dave, we didn't go on this journey simply to have a new tool. We believe that there is a problem that needs to be solved, and the world is desperate right now for spiritual and financial transformation. Dave, people have come to realize that there's got to be something more than just getting up every day to make more money. There has to be something better than just going to work and grinding it out and hoping to retire. That we need a spiritual solution to the longings of our heart, and we need to understand how to integrate that spiritual transformation into the financial decisions that we make to avoid the bondage and the traps of man's economy. So we're driven to solve that problem. We happen to believe that the problem is solved through immersion in God's Word. That's where both of those things connect and come together, and that's why we're doing these stories.
Chuck, when we come back from the break, I want you to tell our listeners about a special event they can attend Thursday and Friday this week. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to begin your journey to financial freedom? Let Crown co-founder Howard Dayton be your personal tour guide using the brand new Your Money Map video guide. It's based on the popular Crown Money Map, which is the practical, biblically-based resource putting over 300,000 people on their journey. This new video guide was created to give you step-by-step guidance and encouragement. This six-part video guide is perfect for individual or group study, and no facilitator training is required. Simply watch it while following along with Howard's book, Your Money Map, and you're ready to start. Take the next step towards true financial freedom by going online to crown.org or calling 1-800-722-1976 for the Your Money Map video guide. Again, that's 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, before the break, I said that you would tell us about two special upcoming events, one happening tomorrow and the other on Friday.
Well, we have rented a movie theater in Orlando and one in Dallas, and we're going to show Abraham and Isaac on the big screen in full living color, and we're inviting our audience, we're inviting you, the listener, to come and join us. I'm going to teach for a little while. Sharon Epps is going to be with us to facilitate the learning experience behind this new film series, and we are going to get together and roll this out and celebrate this new ministry tool, and I I hope you will be there.
Well, both events are free to attend, and there's no tickets required. So it's a first-come, first-served basis. And if you live in the Orlando area, that'll again be tomorrow, October 15th. It'll be shown at the Regal Waterford Lakes Stadium 20 Theater. And then in Dallas the very next day on Friday this week, the film will be shown at the AMC Grand 24 Theater. And again, all that information is available at crown.org. Just scroll down, find the Money Life Radio banner, and then click on the related content button, and you'll get all the details for both of those premieres. Chuck, let's turn our attention to answering some questions.
I'd love to.
Okay, this first question comes from a listener who has an interesting dilemma. He and his wife are close to paying off their mortgage. And he writes, I'm torn between two decisions. If we're living in the last days before Christ will return, what should my priority be? Reaching others for Christ by giving to ministries who can do that work full time, or paying off my mortgage? We have no other monetary debt.
Oh, I love this question. And Dave, I get it in many different forms lately. And the question commonly goes like this. Should I pay off my house or increase my giving, as this person has asked? Should I pay off my house or increase my savings? Should I pay off my house or increase my investment? Should I pay off my house or fill in the blank? There's a real hesitancy in our culture to pay off the house. We've been taught to buy it, pay it out for 30 years, and take the tax deduction as if that's some wonderful benefit. As our late co-founder Larry Burkett used to say, it's not a good deal. Give me a dollar and I'll give you 20 cents back every day. And we'll just keep that up for 30 years. Because basically we're paying a dollar in interest on that loan and getting a small part back in a tax benefit. And because we like that, we tend to be very hesitant to pay off the house. And so many people argue, and financial planners may say, well, it's the cheapest money you'll ever borrow, and it's appreciating in value, and there's no reason to pay it off. And my position is this: pay off the house. It is very important right now to get your home paid for. Now, I realize we're in a period of declining equity, negative pressure on the value of your home. But a home was never supposed to be an investment vehicle. It is simply a place to live. And it's much more stable to live in it if you're not subject to it being taken out from under you. So pay off the house. Now, I love the motivation that this listener has. What this listener is saying is, if this is the end times, how should I use the money that I have? And I don't think that the decision is mutually exclusive. In other words, I believe you can pay off the mortgage that will protect your family, and it will give you the opportunity to free up your monthly cash flow to give towards other ministry opportunities without paying the penalty of all that interest. So don't think because you pay off your house, you suddenly can't be generous to advance God's kingdom. In fact, I think you can be more generous. You have less fear of the future. Your income isn't diluted by the interest that you're paying on the note. And you can continue to give to organizations, not just one big lump sum, but month in and month out. So I think it's a win-win to pay off the house and to continue to give to the Lord's work.
Well, staying on that same housing theme, our next question is a little different. And they write, I regularly see advice to stay below a certain percentage of my income when calculating my house payment. But I've never seen the warning to stay below your current housing spending when buying a house. That can give the impression that taking on a much larger payment than what you're currently spending is safe as long as you stay below 38%. Is that what Crown recommends?
Well, I think it's a good question, and the person was very kind to ask me. They said, we're not trying to be critical, but I just don't like the one-size-fits-all formula. So his counsel, his advice is simply to say, whatever your current housing expense is, when you purchase a home, don't go any higher. Well, here's the problem with that argument, that your current housing expense, even if you're renting, may still be too much. In other words, just because you're able to afford it today doesn't mean you can afford it when you convert it into the purchase of a home, because a home has other expenses associated with it. How well we know, right, Dave? Mm-hmm. You got to spend money to maintain it, to insure it, to keep up the outside, to keep up the inside. There's always something more. So I think the percentage guidelines help put it into context. So your budget has to be viewed through multiple categories, and giving each one a percentage allocation allows you to see the big picture. So I think our budget guidelines are healthy. They're not an end-all. They're not the only metric to look at, but they're available for free online, and I think they're extremely valuable for a person trying to make a decision before they buy a house or even lease a house.
Chuck, for those who may not understand what that 38% is talking about, give us an idea of what is that calculated? Is that your gross? Is that your net?
It's 38% of your net spendable income, meaning what you have left over after you've factored out your taxes and your tithe to give to the Lord. We think those two things should come first, and then you figure in your budget a percentage of the NSI, or the net spendable income, not your gross income.
So 38% is after all of those other things have been taken out.
After those two other issues, your priority to give first unto the Lord and to pay unto Caesar what's Caesar's. So take those two things out and then determine your spending plan on what you have remaining.
And Chuck, we have yet another housing question. And this listener writes, we feel super high inflation is coming with the amount of dollars being printed by the government. If so, is it still wise to pay off my house, as this debt will become cheaper if and when high inflation starts?
Well, I said earlier in the program that everyone's asking, should they pay off the house? And for a variety of reasons, we're always hesitant, but I'm going to give the same answer, Dave. I'm going to be consistent from the beginning of the program till now. Yes, I think you should go ahead and pay off the house, because the rationale that it's going to get cheaper to pay off, you're making some pretty big assumptions there. But if you're debt-free, you have the cash to diversify your investments into things other than your home. When we experience hyperinflation, which I think we will, those investments will grow and offset the opportunity you may have missed by paying down your house with cheaper dollars.
We're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Abraham.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And today we're answering your questions. And by the way, if you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can always write him at chuckbentley@crown.org. And Chuck, sometimes you get easy questions and sometimes you get hard ones.
Yes, and you've got a hard one coming up.
Well, I do. And it's a very interesting one. A listener wrote and let you know that they are taking 20% of their income to support family members who are out of work and hurting. And, but they're not tithing above and beyond that to their local church. And they were coming and asking what your thoughts were on that.
Well, it was a very interesting question, because their perspective is the Bible teaches us that if you don't take care of your family, your immediate family, you're worse than an infidel, you're worse than the lost. So they wanted to know, are they actually tithing by taking care of their family? And they're giving 20% of their income. So you have to be very careful how you answer this, Dave, because I believe they're fulfilling one part of the scripture, but missing another part of it. And the Lord said that we're to give our first fruits to Him. And when we give to Him, we let go of it. It goes to the Lord. And the Lord has control of where it goes. So we cannot direct it when we're truly giving for the purposes that I think first fruits are to be given for, and that's to perpetuate the church, His kingdom, and His glory. And we're to give where we're being fed, because those people are there to dedicate their full time to serving the body and helping to perpetuate God's work here on earth. So I believe that the tithe is setting aside the first fruits of your income to support the Lord's work, and then you also bear the burden of helping your family as they have needs. But one of the things implied in this question is that they're giving 20% on an ongoing basis. And I think that's the real problem, Dave. I think it would be better to help the family break that dependency. Of course, help them in a short-term basis, help them when there's a crisis, but give them wisdom and counsel and other forms of support, and point them back to the church, back to the body of believers that can help meet their needs so that you don't have the sole responsibility for that.
Well, Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in North Carolina, and she writes, I've been able to recently put money in a savings account, and now I have enough to pay off some of the smaller credit card balances that we owe, but is it better to keep the money for a rainy day and keep paying monthly minimums, or go ahead and pay off these couple of small bills?
Oh, I think that's a great question, and it reminds me of the very reason why we created the Crown Money Map, Dave, because so many people want to know what are the next steps. And in the Crown Money Map, we lay out the process that you have to begin with a spending plan. And once you've done that, then you have the ability to save $1,000. And once you've saved $1,000 and you're living within your means, then you have to begin paying down your consumer debt. Because until you get rid of that high interest debt, you're not going to be able to accumulate enough savings. Because the next steps on the money map are to save 1 month of the gross amount of income that is required for you to live on. And then the step beyond that is to save 3 to 6 months. And we know today, in today's market, it takes about 6 months on average to get reemployed. So I believe people need to have 6 months of savings set aside. So the answer to your question is, now that you've got a minimum amount saved, start paying down those bills. Get rid of the interest, get rid of the consumer debt, and as you're going, begin to build up your savings account. It's hard to get out of that trap of running up your credit card debt unless you have savings, and it's hard to have savings unless you get your credit cards paid off. So you have to take baby steps, do them simultaneously, and trust the Lord that steady plodding will bring prosperity. You're not going to get it all done at once, so take small steps every paycheck, and you will get out of this bondage and get debt free.
Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Virginia, and she writes that 16 years ago when she got married, that they took out a whole life insurance policy on her husband for $50,000. And she writes that, I know in your shows you talk about getting term life insurance, but do you think we should keep this whole life policy now since we've had it for so long, or should we cash it in and switch to a term policy? We currently spend about 6% of our yearly income on insurance. That's life, auto, home, and accident insurance.
Well, it's very difficult for me to know how much the present value is of your $50,000 insurance policy and what you would get if you were to cash it out after 16 years, because I don't know how it was priced to you. But let me just speak to it in general, and you've asked some really good questions. Is it better to buy life insurance or to rent it? And I prefer that people rent it because it's so much cheaper. And if you invest the difference in the long run, I believe that you're better off. You take the less expensive option of term insurance. That's what I call renting your insurance, because it's very temporal. But the difference that you save, if you invest it, most often you can do better than putting it into a whole life policy. There are some cases when you're in a high-risk environment that whole life insurance is very helpful over the long term. But in general, term insurance is a better investment. So without knowing the facts, I would recommend you go ahead and stay in your whole life policy since you've been in it for 16 years. And I don't know what the cash value is today. But as you add to any future insurance needs that you go ahead and stick with term insurance. And you said you're spending about 6% of your gross income yearly on all of your insurance, and that's right on target. That's exactly where you need to be for a healthy budget. So you're doing really well there, and thanks for writing us. Happy to try to help.
Chuck, this next question comes from a listener wondering about the maximum gift amount that you can receive before you have to pay taxes.
That amount is $13,000. Anyone can give an individual $13,000 in a single calendar year without that being taxable to the receiver of that gift. So the amount is $13,000, which is quite healthy.
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We're answering your questions today. We'll be right back right after this.
Our economy has been struggling. Companies have cut expenses. Job security has taken on new meaning. Now more than ever, you need to know God's purpose for your life and your work. You can find direction using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is a comprehensive assessment tool that you and your employer can use to make sure that you and your job are the right fit. And if you're between jobs, you can use the Career Direct Complete Guidance System as an interview tool. When you share your Career Direct results with a potential employer, they'll be able to see that you have the talent and skills they're looking for. It'll set you apart from other candidates. The Career Direct Complete Guidance System can be completed in about an hour online. Just go to CareerDirectOnline.org, and to get started, try the free personality ID profile. That's CareerDirectOnline.org, or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, we have time for maybe one more question. This comes from a listener in Florida, and she writes, "We're upside down on a car loan, and that car has high mileage, and we really want to pay it off. We've taken our disposable income, and we split that 60% toward debt and 40% toward savings. And we're just curious, should we continue with that 60-40 split or do something different?"
Well, I love this question because Michelle, who wrote us from Florida, is apparently a listener that has really taken the advice to heart. She said earlier in her email that they've been living on a budget for 60 days and they're tracking their expenses and they've actually learned to live with financial margin. They've found a way to spend less than they earn, Dave. Isn't that great?
That is great.
And now she's trying to decide how to allocate the monthly cash flow or financial margin that they have to get in a better financial position. Now, listen to this. She said, "Chuck, once we get through this, we have the ultimate five-year goal. No more auto debt, no HELOC, that's a home equity line of credit, and we want a five-month emergency fund." So that is very, very encouraging to me, Dave. And thank you, Michelle, for writing and asking the question. Now, here's what you want to know. What to do with the extra money or the financial margin that you have? I think it's very important to continue with the 60-40 split. The car payment is expensive. It may be one of the most expensive loans that you have because you have no credit card debt. So getting it paid off will pay you more return on that money in the long run than putting money in a passive savings account or a money market account. So apply 60% to getting the car paid for completely, no more car debt, and then 40% to your savings account so that when minor expenses do occur, which they will, you don't have to go back into any more credit card debt. Now, once you get that car paid for, then you will have even greater margin to begin to build up your emergency savings fund and to pay down that home equity line of credit. Once you get those two things done, you are going to be a long, long way down the road on that money map. So stay the course, keep it up, you can do it, and keep writing and asking anytime you need help or encouragement, because we want to see you get to the end of that journey. And when you get there, be sure and call us and let us know. I'd love to interview you.
Well, as we wrap up this program, I'd like to remind you again that tomorrow, if you live in the Orlando area, Chuck and the team here from Crown will be at the Regal Waterford Lakes Stadium 20 Theater. And they'll be showing the Abraham and Isaac film, one of our six short films in the God Provides film learning experience. And then the very next day, they'll be in Dallas at the AMC Grand 24 Theater. And this is first come, first serve seating, so be sure you're there early. All the details are at crown.org. Just scroll down the homepage to find the Money Life Radio banner and click on that related content button. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.